Okay, dear students, it's time to work through the worksheet number one for chapter six, common stock valuation. These problems are very similar to the problems in the presentations. They're very similar to the problems in the assignments. And they're going to be very similar to the problems on the exam and in the same order. So are you going to do these problems over and over and over again? Hide the answers, do them again. Once you've done them a few times, they're actually very easy. It's all arithmetic. It's just plugging in the numbers and typing it in your calculator or your spreadsheet. So let's start with problem number one. The price of Wiegandt, Berndt, and Howe. Wiegandt, Berndt, and Howe is currently $32 per share. Their earnings per share is $2.25 this year. The five-year average price-to-earnings ratio is 18. Now, if their earnings per share are expected to grow 5% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? So it's a very simple formula. We take the five-year historical P/E ratio, multiply it times the projected earnings per share. Well, if we know what the earnings per share is this year, $2.25, then the projected is the $2.25 times 1 plus the growth rate. Now make sure you put 1 plus the growth rate of 5% in parentheses. Don't multiply $2.25 times 1 and then plus 0.05 because you will get the wrong answer, right? You have to do the addition first and then you do the multiplication. So you take the five-year average of 18 times the $2.25 times 1.05, right? Add the 1 and the 0.05 first, 1.05. And if you do that, you have 18 times 2.25 times 1.05, or $42.52.5, or just round it up to $42.53. Because remember, we're not trying to be precise, which is actually a very healthy price increase from the $32 it is now. Piece of cake, right? And the other two are exactly like it. The cash flow per share and the sales per share, exactly the same. So number two, their cash flow per share is currently $2.80, higher than the earnings per share, typically because of an accounting technique called depreciation. And you accountants, you know all about that. Their five-year average price to cash flow per share is 14. If we expect their cash flow per share to grow 6% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? Well, we do the exact same thing except using price to cash flow and cash flow. Historical price to cash flow ratio is 14 times the projected cash flow per share next year. Well, the current cash flow per share is $2.88 times 1 plus 0.06. Make sure you do the 6% plus the 1 first, 1.06. So 14 times $2.80 times 1.06, and 1.06, sorry, is $41.55, close enough. Okay, so again, another healthy increase in the price we expect. Is that what's going to happen? Well, who knows? And then finally, their sales per share is $3.20. The five-year average price to sales per share ratio is 13. And if we expect the sales to grow by 8% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? Well, do the same calculation. Take the historical price to sales ratio, which is 13, times the current sales per share, $3.20, times 1.08. Add the 1 plus the 8% first. And if you do 13 times 3.20 times 1.08, you get $44.93. Okay, so now the question is, where do we get the historical price to earnings, price to cash flow, price to sale? Where do we get the current earnings per share, cash flow per share, sales per share. Where do we get what we believe are going to happen next year? Well, there's many various sources, all of which are suspect. The one we respect the most, but still it's fallible because it's the future, right, is the value line. So we can do it at the value line and find all that good information once the library's open. But you can do it for the Dow Jones 30 stocks because Value Line gives those to us for free. Thank you very much, Value Line. Okay, so those are the price models. And as we saw in the presentation, they're not that reliable. For some stocks, for a lot of stocks, no. So now we go to the dividend discount models, which I find to be far better. Again, realizing that we're just, putting our finger up and seeing which way the wind is blowing, Indiana Electric Company. You see, it's a utility, and in the assignment, it's probably going to be in the utility, and in the exam, it's going to be a utility. Right, right, you got it. Pays $1.25 per year in dividends, has done so for many years, and we expect to continue to do so in the future. We can to continue doing so well into the future. If our expected rate of return is 6%, how much would we be willing to pay for the stock? The stock, the stock were selling for $20. If it were selling for $20, would we consider it to be a potentially good investment? Which dividend discount model did we use? Well, when the dividends are not growing, we use the constant growth model, which is, folks, essentially the same as the dividend yield inverted. We take the annual dividends and divide them by the required rate of return. So if we got $1.25 in dividends a year, we expect to get at least 6% of our out of our investments. $1.25 divided by 6%, 0.06, is $20.80, 83 cents. So that's what we think it's worth. If we're not going to see any growth of dividends, we think, and we want to see a 6% rate of return, that's what we'd pay for it. If it were selling for $20, our model is telling us that it's worth more than the price. So we believe it is a potentially good investment. Of course, we have to do more research. We just can't say, oh, wow, great. It's worth $20.83. Buy it. No, this is just pointing us in the direction of potentially good stocks that we need to further research. Do you understand? If not, you contact me because this is a very important point. We are doing these calculations not because we believe they're right. We know they're wrong. Going in, we know they're wrong. They're just predictions. What's going to happen in the future is probably 99% not what we think is going to happen, but it points us towards those companies that are going to give us a rate of return that we're happy with. So let's read number 5. Pritchard's Pretty Good Pretzels, PPGP, is paying 85 cents per year in dividends. Now, we note that the dividend growth rate has been very constant. We use that word for a reason because they give a silly name to the model. The very constant at 4%. We would like to get a 9% rate of return. That's our expected, our desired rate of return. Okay, so what price would we consider Pritchard's to be a potentially good investment? And which dividend discount model did you use? So when you hear that the dividend has been growing at a constant rate, that's the constant perpetual growth model. Dumb name, constant and perpetual mean basically the same thing, right? So it's the from the Department of Redundancy Department. But anyway, the calculation is fairly simple. You take the annual dividends times 1 plus that growth rate of the dividends, and you do that, that's the numerator. And then in the denominator, you take the required rate of return and subtract that dividend growth rate. So do those two calculations first and then divide. Don't try to divide before you finish those two calculations. So on the top of the quotient, at the numerator, annual dividends times 1 plus the constant growth rate is at 0.85 times 1.04. Make sure you understand, same idea, 1 plus 4%, 1.04. And that's about 88.4 cents or 0.884. Okay? Now, in the bottom, we take 9% minus 4%, the desired required rate of return of 9% minus the constant growth of 4%, and we get 0.05 in the bottom. So take 0.884 divided by 0.05, and you get $17.68. Now, that's what we believe the stock is worth if they continue to grow their dividends at 4%, if we believe that we want a 9% return on our investment. Now, what if it were selling for $20? Well, it's more than what we think it's worth. Does that mean it's a bad buy? No, no. It just means that we have to do more digging. Maybe we have to accept a smaller rate of return in the future, in which case we do the calculation again, and oh, it's 7%. It is a potentially good investment. So it's just a way to point us towards companies that we believe will give us the rate of return that we're desiring. Now, number six, Jimba Jamba Jamba Juice. JJJJ is currently selling for $56 per share and selling you 800 calories of sugar for whatever, $7.29. Anyway, they're currently selling for $56 per share. Now, for the next 3 years, 2021, 2022, 2023, we expect to get $1.80 in dividends 2021, $2 for 2022, and $2.25 for 2023. We forecast the price per share to be approximately $75 at the end of 2023. If we desire a rate of return of 10% using the discounted cash flow model, would we consider this a potentially good investment for us? What do we believe JJJJ is worth? Well, we created a little spreadsheet, and of course, the spreadsheet on the website makes life a whole lot easier, but it's not that hard. Write down the years in the left-hand column, then write the future cash flows that we expect to get. So for 2021, we expect to get $1.80. For 2022, we expect to get $2 in dividends. And then in 2023, we expect to get the $2.25 in dividends. Plus, we believe, and we, or maybe Value Line told us, or somebody else, or whatever, we did some other research newsletter or whatever, and it said, oh yeah, this stock's going to be $75 at the end of 2023. So that's $2.25 plus $75 or $77.25. So those are the future cash flows. Now we need to bring those future cash flows back to the present, back to today. So that's the third column. The third column has the present value multipliers at our desired rate of return of 10% or 9% or 8% or 12% or whatever we desire for our rate of return. So if we go to the table, we'll see that the first three multipliers for 10% are 0.909, 0.826, 0.751. You get them right off the table, right? And of course, the spreadsheet does the calculations for you automatically. You don't have to look up the table. And so then we multiply those future cash flows for 2021, 2022, 2023 times the present value multipliers. So $1.80 times 0.909 is $1.63.5 or so. $1.6362. Then $2 times the in 2022 times the present value multiplier at 10% for 2 years, 0.826. It's $1.65.2 or 1.652. And then $77.25 in 2023 times 0.751 is a little over $58, $58.0148. You add those three numbers up and you get around $61.30. So according to our model, we believe the stock is worth approximately a little over $61, $61.30. So it is a potentially good investment for us. We need to do far more research. But this is one of those stocks that we would like to investigate because it looks as though they're going to return the kind of return that we desire. And again, spreadsheets make the calculations so much easier, but at least do them a couple of times with your calculator and then play with the spreadsheet, okay? Okay, now, those are the two dividend discount models that we worked with, actually three, the constant growth, the constant perpetual growth, and then the dividend, the discounted cash flow model. But they all had dividends. What happens when we find a stock that doesn't pay any dividends? Well, we can still use the discounted cash flow model. Why? Because we can consider the future value of the stock price as a cash flow, as a future cash flow, because we could sell it in the future. So here's the price. The price, here's biotechnology, nanotechnology. Two big buzzwords. The price of biotechnology, nanotechnology is currently $15 per share. Company pays no dividends, it's losing money, it's a very speculative stock. We expect the price 3 years from now, though, to be $35 per share. I mean, that's what the analysts are telling us. That value line even says, hey, look, this is a possible winner. And so if our desired rate of return is 12%, what would this be a potentially good buy? Well, the hint is, what's the only model you can use, right? And it's the discounted cash flow model. How will you use it? Well, there's no dividends, so there's no reason to calculate the dividends because zero times anything is zero. But what we do use is the expected stock price as a potential future cash flow. So we believe the stock price is going to be $35 in 3 years. So we write down $35. Now we go to the present value table, go across to our required rate of return of 12%, go down 3 years, and we see that present value multiplier to be 0.712. Now do it. Make sure you can do it. Okay, if you can't, stop, figure it out, contact me. I'm here to help you. So $35 times the present value multiplier of 0.712 is $24.92. The price is $15. So we believe it's worth almost $25. And it's selling for $15. Not bad. But we must understand. We must have our eyes wide open. This is a very speculative stock. Or I love the term that Valueline uses. A speculative issue. It could be worth $50 in 3 years. It could also be worth 50 cents. For every speculative stock that you buy, please be sure to buy four or five large companies with their roots deep in the economy, please. Or here's an idea. Let your mutual fund buy the large cap companies based all around the world with their research analysts going on knocking on doors. And then you take a look for those speculative stocks that could turn $1,000 into $50,000 or 50 cents. Yeah, because that's what's going to happen if you invest in these companies that potentially could become, what Mr. Peter Lynch calls 10 baggers. They could explode on the upside. They can also implode on the downside. So do these over and over and over again. Yes, you're nodding your head yes, aren't you? I can see you. Because we want you to be awesome. And as we say in the presentation, after you've done all your calculations for your potential investment, what do you do with them? Right, shred them, use them as confetti, burn them under the full moon, dancing naked around a fire. Throw them into the ocean and have the fishies eat them, because we know going in that these numbers are just bogus. What does Mr. Kalman say? Any precise calculation will be precisely wrong. But we do it anyway to point us towards those companies that we believe are going to give us the desired rate of return. Okay, now, over and over and over again, on to worksheet number 2. Be awesome, dear students. We are proud of you.